song of praise, hallelujah. Yes, he brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the road to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bring now my heart.
It's good to be back in church tonight. just got back yesterday from Florida. And Brother Yvonne George's meeting, Haitian meeting down there with among the Haitian brethren. Of course, the situation in Haiti is been the main concern in the last few days, and we're just getting more and more information and trying to figure out how to help them. There's not hardly any way to or any means to get help to them other than what is being done by the United Nations and America. when you think about, I've been, of course, all of us have had it on our minds, but I was thinking about it the other day. I thought, there's nothing. We don't have any promise of tomorrow. And I was just thinking about if an earthquake hit here, what it would be like, But there's no reason for us to think that we're exempt. And I was just asking the Lord about it. Jesus told his disciples, he said, your time is always. He said, my time hadn't yet come. God has a predestined plan of salvation. But everybody's, he doesn't predestinate a time for everybody to die. In fact, the Lord even let some people die by chance. The Bible says, chance happeneth to all men. That includes you and me. I've had lots of things happen to me by chance. God, I think I've got an angel that watches over me. The Bible does say that my angel's beholding the face of the Father every day, but I think sometimes he allows things to happen and he doesn't interfere or necessarily ordain it, but he's always there. Thank God for that. For the Lord knows about our situation, and he is present, knowing what's happening to his children. The psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of his saints. He doesn't look at death like you and I look at it. Of course, a saint, that qualifies that. A saint is someone that's living a dedicated life, sanctified life before God. That's what the Bible refers to as a saint. It's the same thing as being holy, or sanctified and called out. As long as you remain in that condition, I believe you're in a good place with the Lord. Because there's a resurrection, I'm thankful that I have some understanding about the doctrine of resurrections. That just because you die, Paul said, not even death can separate you from the love of God. And but in the time of adversity, Solomon said, consider. And that's what I was doing when I was thinking about this earthquake. I thought, Lord, I want to consider my brothers over in Haiti, but I want to consider also that this ought to make people feel that they ought to live with knowing that my time's always. I could die anytime. Something could happen to me, and I ought to live in a way that I know that, and that I'm, living with all I know to do before the Lord. And so it's a time for us to be sober and sober-minded about things. I don't think things like this disastrous should happen without us being sober-minded about it and take it serious that God is speaking to the world. and it could just as easily have happened here as anywhere else, as in Haiti. And so I think you can get important enough, or you might be able to get moved out of that your time is always slot into your time is not yet come. The Apostle Paul did. He was in a storm on a boat one time, and God sent an angel to tell him, "You're not going to die." Wouldn't you like to? If you was in a catastrophe, wouldn't you like for an angel? If you thought you was fixing to die, what would it mean to you if an angel from heaven came and said, "You're not going to die in this. God's not finished with you yet." Would you like to be used of God in such a way that he was too important for him to just let chance take you out? I don't know if the Lord sent that storm or if it just happened. I know he's capable of sending a storm, but I'm not sure that he sends them all. I think sometimes just the natural elements work. And so I'm thankful tonight for God's blessings and for life, but I am concerned for the churches in Haiti. We've been in touch with some of them the last few days. I was saying we've worked out a sort of means to try to get some help to them. The brethren in Fort Lauderdale took up an offering to help the Haitians, and they asked me if I'd take it to them, and I said I'll get it to them. And so they said, "All right, Brother Smith's going to get this offering to them." Well, the way we handle money in this church for the Dominican Republic is we have a missionary account that we put our missionary funds in. And Brother Emilio Green signs on that account and has checks to it. And when they need money, I tell him to write a check, and he can we've got good rapport with the banks over there, and so he can go cash a check anytime I tell him to, and they'll cash it for him immediately. And then we transfer money over into that account that he writes checks on. So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, if I could send Brother Green to Haiti with money. And so I called Brother Brown, Brother Daves, and talked to him about it. And I know Brother Leniger in Oklahoma City has been having money come in Mission Voice to try to help Haiti, but didn't have any way to send it. They finally said day before yesterday that we could send it Western Union. but that there were only very few offices open for Western Union, and that they weren't charging anything for you sending money to Haiti. But I didn't like the thought of that. There's no real law over there. There's no government. If somebody wanted to take $5,000 or $10,000, who would you tell? What would you do? So, plus all of the looting that's going on, I'm afraid that the criminals would be watching those places. And when you come out of there, they'd be following you, knowing you got some money. And I'd be afraid of our people getting robbed, and so I'm not comfortable with sending money over there like that, not right now. So anyway, we talked about it, and so we've decided to send the money here from Mission Voice and other places in the body here to our missions account. And Brother Green and Brother Elias, they're actually in Haiti now with the first trip. They're buying food and goods, and of course we're not taking a lot of money at one time, because that could be, you know, to have a lot of cash on you might not be a good idea either. But there's a lot of people hurting. Brother Lionel Joseph is in, I think it's a KI, that's not exactly right, the little area he's in, a park, camping out with 2,000 people. And most of his church is there with him. Most of them don't have homes, they don't have nothing, they don't have clothes, they don't have food. Of course, what relief they're getting, but that's just one area. Brother Leon Fisk building in Carfu was destroyed. Right now, we've got confirmed somewhere between 60 and 80 deaths in the body. No pastors died that we know of. So that's a small number compared to, they're saying maybe 200,000 that could have died in this. They don't know yet. There's even other areas beside Port-au-Prince that was hit that are getting no help. We found out we've got some people stranded in an area outside of Port-au-Prince that have no help and a lot of damage. And nobody's come there to help them. There's no soldiers there. There's nobody there. So they're right now, no doubt, concentrating on the populous areas. The only means we've been able to come up with right now is sending these brothers from the Dominican Republic over there. Maybe once or twice a week, you know, we can send them over there. It's about a 5-hour drive, something like that, to the border. Brother Preval and Brother Simeon, which is two of the lead seven brethren that are over the Haitian work, are meeting them there on the Haitian side of the border. So, but they're going to go on in to Port-au-Prince tomorrow and give us some kind of a report as to try to find out who we can reach and where they're at and what kind of help they really need. And so we want you to pray that, I feel like we are to, you know, we are to do our part as an assembly to try to give to this drastic situation and help our people over there. We have, like I said, over 300 churches over there, and I would say 100 of them are in the areas that were hit by this. And so Brother Lionel Joseph, when I was talking to him day before yesterday, we went to Western Union in Florida and asked them about sending money over, and they said there is a few offices open, but they said the lines are long and that the banks over there are closed, most of them. And they said, we can't get enough money in one day to even give out what's being sent. We're turning big lines of people away early in the day, telling them we're out of money. We have to get more money. We're limited on how much money we can get. And I'm sure they're worried about how much money to carry on hand in those places. But I just don't feel it would be safe to have our people. It looks like they'd be endangering their lives to go in those places and pick up cash funds and be seen doing that. In fact, I've instructed the brethren to make sure that nobody sees them give this money to those pastors over there that they're taking it to. And even the food, even the stuff they're giving them, they'll kill you for food, you know. people who aren't saved will do just about anything, and when the times are desperate. So especially when there's no law, and there's probably, you know, some of the prisons over there were collapsed and the prisoners escaped, got away. 3,001, yeah. So there's of course, we've got UN soldiers over there, but they're going into an area that is strange to them, and they're just meeting the most prominent needs that they can meet. And anyway, so we need to pray for our God would help us. I told them to get to make sure they got receipts signed for the money. You know, we want to be accountable, and because people are sending money here and they want to make sure it gets to where they intend for it to go. And so we're trying to make sure we've got a good paper trail that will be, that will protect us in that way. Anyway, let's pray for this situation over there. They had another, they call it an after, aftershock, but now they're saying it could be a pre-tremor. It registered 6.1 on the Richter scale. It was in a remote area, but it done some damage, quite a bit of damage, but it was hit in an area where there wasn't a lot of populous, a lot of buildings. They're not sure, but what it's, you know, that there's not more coming. So let's pray for those people over there. They're in a desperate situation, and we do have some brothers from America over there. We've got two or three Haitian pastors that are over there, and we tried to connect with them to send money through them, but Brother Joel Guerrier from Connecticut was there. Brother Paul from Brother Hogarth's church in New York, and Brooklyn was there and preached in Brother Green's church and left the night before, but we didn't know he was there. And the time we got to him, well, he was already gone. We couldn't find him. And then Brother Joel, we got a hold of him and was trying to get money to him, but his bus, he had to get on the bus or miss it, and his bus left before we could get the money to him. So I had to send Brother Green, Brother Elias, and Brother Calderon, and Brother Diego, are all four going over there. And I think they just all wanted to, you know, go and see the people and let them know we care. And even though they're going to meet, they could just meet at the border and give them the stuff and turn around and go back, but they wanted to go in, and I told them, go ahead. I would want to go in too if I was that close. If I was already in there, I'd want to go on in and see the saints and the ministers. But when I was talking to Brother Lionel Joseph, I finally got a hold of him the other day, and on a cell phone, and I don't know whose phone it was. It wasn't his number, but he said, you won't be able to reach us very much. We don't have any power to charge any phones, and there's not very many towers that you can reach anybody on anyway. And everybody's just using one another's, and they go dead right away, and we don't have anywhere charging them up unless they can find a car or something with a car charger or some way of... And I was told day before yesterday that gasoline was $100 a gallon in Haiti. It's it's like gold. You can't get it, and they don't. You know, I ask them, is that U.S. dollars? Even if it was 100 goods, it'd still be about $35 a gallon. So I never couldn't get clear if it was $100 or 100 goods, which is their dollar, but they said dollars. So it's about $5 a gallon anyway, but if it's 35, that made more sense to me. I'm hoping that's what it is, but I told Brother Green, try to get some containers and take some gas if you can to them, because even those that can come across the border, the closer you get to the border, the price gouging goes up. Closer you get, you would think, wouldn't you, that people would mark things down during a time like that. Oh yeah, they've just had big equipment in there just trying to move stuff out of the way that vehicles can get through on the main roads. You can't get through anywhere else, but the main road from the border into Port-au-Prince is open, but it's, you know, it's loaded with traffic. And Brother Green and them are having to stay and sleep in a car because they won't let you cross the border after dark. So, anyway, I don't even know if we can imagine what they're going through, really. Brother Weiniger was telling me they just picked up on the news this evening. What's it been? 9 days today? Is that right? Was it Tuesday or Monday? 8 days today. And they found 5 kids in one building. 3 of them were dead and 2 of them were still alive. So they're still pulling people alive out. So he was so thankful, evidently, to be rescued. Well, some people have also been wondering about Sister Hodges. We did get a report from Mike Miller. He reported that he got an email from a missionary that said that that they found Sister Hodges. But he didn't say anything about if she had been hurt or where she was at or what kind of condition she was in. But Cato has been looking for her and hadn't heard from her since she left to go over there. But we did get that word today from Brother Mike Miller down in Florida. You know, y'all all know Brother Miller. He married one of the Haitian girls over there and was in Jerseyville, but he moved to Florida. I believe in Brother Walker's assembly in Tampa area. All right, I know there's other needs here we need to pray for. It's good to see Sister Painter. And I think this is her friend, Brother Goforth, is that right? And this is Brother Painter's sister. Her name is Horn, isn't it? Amy? What is it? DeBoard. Okay, I got that wrong. But you have to give me credit for trying anyway. Anyway, we're glad to have y'all here with us tonight. Appreciate you being here. All right, needs that we have here locally. I know we've Sister Fisher. All right, Sister Wilkins. And Brother Weaver called his grandchildren need prayer. He's evidently in the hospital, Brother Mark, is that right? So two of them, one of them got released today, he said, but the other one's still in. So, Sister York, all right. Does your mic work there? We're having a hard time hearing you.
I just said also keep remembering Aunt Susie in your prayers. And she has a great grandbaby that's just a few weeks old, but they thought originally that he just had a heart murmur, but he went to a specialist in Tulsa, and the aorta valve in one spot is very narrow, and he's going to have open heart surgery. Just a little thing, just 4 or 5 weeks old. Well, they're
all right.
Really going through a lot right now, so they really need
to. All right. And Sister Aunt Susie's. Have they diagnosed her with cancer? Okay.
She did come back. The doctor told her when she went the other day that he was pretty sure it was, but it's not on her kidney and it's not on her ovary. It's in another location. And he gave them the option of either doing radiation, and which they were pretty well leaning toward doing that, or doing surgery. But the last I talked to her, which was yesterday, she was kind of leaning toward just having radiation done. She still trusts in the Lord. She said, I'm not disappointed and not upset in the least in the report. I just trust in the Lord.
All right, Sister Bright. All right. Okay. Brother Goss, pray for Brother Goss. He when he left here last time and went home, he gets a checkup every year, and it's always good. He's been just healthy as a lark all these years, and not on any kind of medication or anything, but his EKG came back bad. And he went in and had a test done, and they did an angiogram on him this past week, and he's got several blockages in his heart that are serious, and he's going in for a quadruple bypass a week from today. So he's going to have open heart surgery. They can't do stents. They can't do the Roto-Rooter. They've got a new surgery out that it actually goes in just like the angiogram. It's got a little blade inside a thing that'll actually clean out an artery and suck all the debris right up a little vacuum hose while they do it. Amazing. It's something new that they've got, but they said that the way his heart was, they couldn't do that. I don't know that they may not have but he's asking us to pray. He said, you know, I know God could heal me, but he said, I feel like, he told me a story. He's the most positive guy you ever get around to talk to. He said, I talked to a guy that was 89 that was on a golf course from Canada that has a home down in Florida for wintertime. And he said he was 89 years old and he was on the golf course and he had a heart attack. And he said he had to come back here to have his surgery because he doesn't have insurance in America. So he said he came back here and had surgery, and he said 2 months later, he's back in Florida playing golf. He said, I think I'm going to live past 100. So Brother Goss said, I'm going to be right there behind you looking. So he said, have everybody pray, though, because he said, I believe God could even heal me before I have the surgery. So anyway, pray for him. I know now today heart surgery is not as serious as it used to be. People my age and older, when you say you're going to have open heart surgery, we think you're about a goner, you know. But if they do it every day and people live for years afterwards. Brother Jerry's had 2 quadruple bypasses in the last, 12 years? And he's still ticking, still kicking, so. All right, what else?
Ty Gurdley in Republic, his ex-wife.
Oh, Ty, okay.
Asked him to take care of her son because she found him to take care of her son. She had joint custody, but she wanted to take full custody for a while. They found a mass in her throat she can't swallow. And her name is Sharon, and they're doing a biopsy in her about a week or so. She is really, in their divorce and a lot of things, he talked to me and really treated him horribly. But he's praying for her soul that she can somehow be saved in all this. And so I told him, I said, I'll have our church pray.
All right. This is a young man that Brother Michael met and knew, and he came to the Republic Church quite a bit, and anyway, he's divorced, and Brother Michael's saying that she's got this mass in her throat, and anyway, and she's asked him to take their son for a while and take care of him while she tries to get treatment. But he's asking us to pray that somehow God would save her in all this. So she has lived a pretty wild life, I think. So let's pray that God would touch this young lady. All right. Yes, Brother McGowan's really been suffering for a long time. Yes, teeth pulled today. Yes, and he's doing okay, but he just didn't feel like he could get out and come make it tonight. So. Yeah. Still some blood. All right, Brother Matthew. All right. Let's keep praying for that. Brother Michael Smith's supposed to close on his house next week, so keep praying for that. Brother Mark Boyd finally got his closed and done with, so we're thankful for that. Sister Thompson? All right. Remember that. I'll stand in for Sister Wilkins and tell y'all to pray for Josh, her grandson. Sister Abraham? All right. Sister Painter. All right. Let's pray for that. Sister Lisa, did you have your hand up? All right. Sister Rice also, let's remember her. Is today her birthday? All right. All right. Let's remember that. Sister Sandra. All right. Their son Scott and Joshua, their grandson. All right. Let's remember our brothers and sisters in Haiti tonight. Sister Joanne. Yes. And she all right, Brother Al? They did a... stand. If the ushers will come, we'll receive an offering for Haiti tonight. And let's take these prayers up before the Lord. Dear God, precious Savior, oh God, I know you know, Lord, these needs and the concerns for the people in Haiti and our churches and the body over there, Lord, the pastors and their saints. God, if there's any of them that are trapped and alive, would you make a way for them to be found, Lord? And then these that are injured and hurt, God, touch them and help them, Lord. Oh, Jesus, my God, help us, Lord, to be a help to them. But some way, Lord, in your way, God, get them nutrition and clothing and help. I know you're in control. I trust you fully. Oh, God, as you touch those people, Jesus. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Oh, God. Jesus, meet the needs that were spoken here tonight, Lord. Each one, Lord, that are sick and in need, dear Jesus. God, we just lay them at your feet. Ask you to help your people, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lamb of God. Precious Jesus, precious Lord. Oh, God, we give you thanks, Lord. The prayers you've answered for us, Lord, and the times that you've met our needs, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll make mention also, I failed to say anything about it. I've been feeling about the Dominican meeting in the Dominican Republic. Is the 10th of February, and I know there's several people that have bought tickets to go to that meeting, but I've had a hard time feeling good about that meeting. Will cost us at least $10,000. It always does. It just costs money to put on a meeting. There'll be, you know, somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people there, and we have to feed them. A lot of them we have to put up in motel rooms and transportation, and I'm just having a hard time thinking about spending that kind of money on a meeting when we've got all of our brothers and sisters right there on the same island in such need. So I've decided to postpone the meeting until April the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Haiti had a meeting scheduled for Port-au-Prince, and of course, they've canceled it. But I'm tentatively moving our meeting to there until we can see a little bit more. And I've already bought tickets, but I feel like I'm going to call the airlines. I feel like that they will waive the penalty and for changing tickets, maybe just not charge us anything for it if they realize this meeting is for the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And see, there's probably 100 people from Haiti comes to that meeting. Pastors, that's the only meeting they can go to. They can get a passport and come over there, but they can't get a visa to go anywhere else. But they don't need anything but a passport to come to the Dominican Republic. And so, anyway, I wish you'd pray with me about that. I'm going to talk to the brethren more about it in Brownsville at the minister's meeting this coming week. But this next week starts Tuesday night. So pray for that meeting also. All right. God bless you as you give. Right now, we're going to try to, you know, if people have it on their hearts to give to Haiti, we're going to give them precedence right now on our mission funds and send this money over there to them direct. So I need to talk to Sister Weiniger anyway. They wrote a $5,000 check today. I want you to cover it. I know she's got one. The question is how. Anyway, we'll get it done. There's money on the way. All right, let's have a song. And let the Lord deal with your hearts here to give to these people in need. Thank you.
need one another. And I'm real glad to be here. I remember going to the campground. That was before Leon got so bad. And we'd hear this wonderful praise going on. It'd be 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. And sometimes I would get up and get dressed and go up there just so I could hear the Haitian people praise the Lord. They would wait all year long and get ready, and they would sacrifice to come to Shepherdsville to praise the Lord. There's one lady, and I cannot get her out of my... She's like a picture that I keep seeing, and I have thought of her, and I don't know why I'm thinking of her, but she was a lady, and oh, she would praise the Lord, and the rest of us might be lazy and dilatory in praising God, but they got up early. They didn't lay in bed until 7:30 or 8 o'clock. They were up there praising the Lord, and it would set the tone. You know, if you'll start praising God early, you kind of set the tone for the day. And this week has been a hard week. There was a precious little boy, and he had a Band-Aid on his face, and finally someone smiled at him, and he was able to half grin. When we realize what our children over there have gone through, a commentator said the other day, said that there had been 4 major catastrophes hit some of these children. They estimate that there's 1 million orphans in Haiti now. And all we can do, we can be grateful we're here. We don't know what to do. But it's good to know that people care enough that are willing to go in there and to face danger. And there was 2 commentators said they were talking about different relief organizations coming in, and this one commentator said yes, but said it's the faith missions that will stay. It's the churches that will stay, that will be there. And it blesses me, and it humbles me at the same time to know that there are people that are willing to care for one another. Northwest Arkansas went through all this, but nothing to what they went through. We had shelter. I was without a home last winter for 9 days, but I had shelter. I didn't have hot water. For a while, we didn't have electricity in the shelter I was in from that ice storm, but I was taken care of. But there's nothing to what those people down there, and I'm glad to know that we're trying to help one another and pray for my family. And because, you know, God has been so good. It's all the way through. God has been so good. And one of my daughters said, Mom said, the world doesn't see death the way that we see. I believe that those that have gone on, I believe they're home safe with God. And there's one thing I want to tell you, and I'm not going to name any names because you know some of those people. But my husband, there's a young lady not living the life that I would live. And she called me one day, and she said, June, she said, Leon came to me 3 times. Said, and the third time, every time he appeared to her, like in a vision, not in a dream, but in a vision, said he got younger. And finally he said to her, Leon had been gone 3 months, thereabouts. And finally he said to her, he said, Jackie, he said, I have to go now, and I'm all right. So we know that there are people beyond where we are that have gone home to be with the Lord. And it's not that we make saints out of the people that are deceased, but we know who God is. And I'm so grateful for the teaching that I have received through the years. And I hope that our younger generations, I'm blessed to see my granddaughters and great-granddaughter, this one, sitting here in front of me tonight. And I appreciate you folks down here, and keep praying for us up there. On Sundays, it gets kind of quiet. But the Lord knows best. And when it came time for the highway to take my property, it went smooth. I said, if you're going to sell your property, sell it to the highway department because they do have the money.
Somebody be feeling a song. Somebody got a song?
Everybody else glued to the TV looking at this, all this devastation over in Haiti, and watching CNN, and right before I cut the TV off and went to bed, there's a little Haitian boy laying on a piece of cardboard in the middle of the street, asleep. People walking all around him, up and down, hollering and carrying on. And I turned off the TV and went and climbed in bed. Boy, that bed was not comfortable. After thinking, I was like, I, of course, it's not going to do that little boy any good for me to go grab a piece of corrugated cardboard out of the garage and go lay out in the middle of Rushwood Lane, but it might have made me feel better. But I just want to just stand to give thanks. You know, like the world's in a turmoil right now. Everywhere I go, you know, it's all I hear. And then it gets on me. And I come home from work, and I've got it all over me everywhere I go. Everybody's worried about their place of employment closing. I heard one of my customers say that we are hardwired as a species, or a not a race, but I guess a species, to only handle as much bad news, to only hear as much bad news as we could personally handle. You know, for thousands of years, they say that you only heard as much bad news as what you could affect, your family, your village, your tribe, maybe your city,